as a nurse, I just want to send out our gratefulness and our just thoughts and prayers for those who are on the front lines.
And my family's concerned, much like it's watching, you know, a loved one go off to battle every day in the emergency department.
This is a very kind of personal time for us because we've got colleagues that have been out there trying to take care of patients and gotten sick themselves, and now they're in ICUs on ventilators.
And I can tell you, being a physician and have worked with a lot of nurses, there is nothing worse than being in a time-critical moment and not making the right decision.
This was born out of discussions we've had with emergency room doctors, primarily in hotspot areas like New York.
The benefit of this process is it really takes a manual COVID-19 screening, which is inefficient and has a high level or prolonged level of exposure, and turns it into an instant, high throughput, and no exposure process.
It's 9:30 at night, and I'm in my partially finished basement. This is my new office for the next few weeks, maybe months, as my three-year-old has taken reign over the more hospitable venues of the household. My partner and I are tagging in and out, taking each turn locking ourselves in some awkward place to get a little silence and maybe a little bit of work done. I suspect it's a lot like this for many households right now across the country. And for many others, they might not have the luxury of a job that they can continue in while sheltering in place. So I try to keep that in mind and smile that we have a yard and are fortunate. We need to make these sacrifices as they pale in comparison to the alternative. I'm talking about flattening the curve. It's about minimizing the spread of COVID-19 so that we can prevent terrible loss of life. Yes, many people will catch the virus and get the disease, but if we can slow how quickly it spreads, we can reduce the total number of people in need of critical care. The supply of healthcare cannot be expanded quickly enough to meet this demand, so we have to ration it with everything that we've got. A March 16th simulation from Array Advisors predicts that Washington will run out of ICU beds on March 30th, New York on April 5th, in Colorado, where I live, on April 15th. This excess demand problem will result in loss of life. So how do we solve it? First off, what can be done to increase supply? Hospitals have already started canceling elective procedures, and that's painful because today something could be elective, but tomorrow it could turn into something acute and emergent. Additionally, these are the moneymakers for health systems who already run on super slim margins. Hospitals are also getting creative with ways they can increase the physical capacity of their organizations beyond their ICU rooms. They're deploying mobile hospitals, bringing in unlicensed beds, building tents in their parking lots. They're converting other areas of the hospital, like psych wards, into areas where these types of patients can be cared for. They're converting post-acute facilities and partnering with outpatient clinics. So there's a lot of work being done to increase the capacities there. And all of this is really what needs to happen as we flatten the curve. Flattening the curve is about pushing out the total number of people that need to be hospitalized and in an acute care setting so that we can meet that demand with the supply. So that's kind of the first way that I think about solving this excess demand problem. The second way is what I want to focus on a little bit here today. And it's a bit more nuanced, so bear with me as I get into this. I used to teach healthcare economics back when I worked at Epic, and I had a flashback to those days as I thought about this problem. Generally, one of the challenges in studying this market is that we as patients don't actually have direct demand for healthcare. We demand health, but you can't buy health, so we utilize healthcare instead to hopefully obtain the health that we desire. But this is what, as economists, we call derived demand, and it's a conundrum that rears its ugly head in many aspects of our healthcare markets. What it means here is that there's a production function at play. If we can improve our ability to produce health from a given unit of healthcare, then we can appease our direct demand for health with fewer units of healthcare. And now I need to apologize for that, as it was a long way of saying that if healthcare providers were more efficient and effective, it'd go a long way in tackling this problem. This is where technology comes in. Technology, at its fundamental definition, is something people use to become more efficient and or effective. And this is the basis of the hypothesis that I want to explore with you today. Technology, and specifically digital health solutions, can be used to drive efficiency and effectiveness in healthcare delivery. With me today are 10, yes, 10 solutions. They're more discrete hypotheses of ways that digital health could help with this problem. This is a special episode for us here. At Redox, we looked at the network of 700 health systems and 300 technology vendors that we've amassed over the years and thought hard about what we can do in the face of this pandemic. And we realized that we've been building this network so that we can deploy technology more quickly and more efficiently than ever before in the past. So we thought, how could we use it to help with COVID-19? We reached out to our customers and asked who among them has dropped what they're doing to innovate in response to this pandemic. And we gathered this cohort of solutions who have all agreed to offer them up for free for now. And as technologists, this was really their first responder moment to help the front line. So we're going to hear directly from these vendors as I pull in clips from the virtual conference that we held on March 25th, where they showcased their solutions. And these go far beyond the obvious telehealth use cases. So what I'm going to try to do here today is take you on a journey from a patient having symptoms all the way through an acute care setting and what digital health tools might be employed along the way. The first of these is Vital. I'm honored to have Aaron Patzer back on the show, the CEO of Vital, and he's joined by his co-founder, Dr. Justin Schrager, their chief medical officer. And they've developed a product called C19check.com. It's been covered by New York Times, ABC, NBC, really shared across the internet as one of the first tools to check your symptoms.
C19check.com, which we built in collaboration with Emory and has had in the last 4 days about 400,000 people screen themselves for COVID-19. Dr. Schrager, do you want to tell us a little bit about how this came about?
Yep. So much like the rest of you, and certainly the presenters here, we wanted to do something to stem this outbreak, flatten the curve, make my job easier in the ER. this was the best solution that we could think of. It's basically a concept called forward triage. You are preventing people from coming to the ER who don't need to be there, and you're stopping people from accessing the health system who don't need to be there. Surge mitigation. The whole point of this activity was surge mitigation. It's non-diagnostic, so it's not going to tell you, yes, you have coronavirus, no, you don't have coronavirus. It will give you some likelihoods and more information about why that is. But the real service that it provides is that it basically allows people anywhere to go in there and log in and check their symptomatology and determine if they really truly need to go to the emergency department or even if they need to call their doctor or not.
This was developed not only with infectious disease experts at Emory, but at the United Services University, which represents the armed forces with the U.S. Army. It's gone through two health literacy checks so that the questions that you saw that were being asked to patients, not is your BMI over 40, but do you wear size XXL clothes or larger for, you know, one of the pre-existing conditions. This is meant for consumers and is a very polished system. In addition to triaging people as high, medium, low risk, you can get analytics out of the back end. So you can get analytics on the zip code level for your region about where COVID is increasing or decreasing, at least from a self-triage perspective, which is pretty fantastic. And you can put this onto any website. So it will take your technical team no more than 2 hours to integrate this. It's a bit like embedding Google Maps onto your site. And this should be on every public health website, every hospital website.
Okay, so patients have now used Vital's C19check.com to figure out if they should go get medical help. Now, if you're a clinic trying to figure out how to remote triage patients, get them into the facility, we're going to turn to Epion's solution and Lauren Levin there to explain what they're doing to help with that.
We're going to take Epion's bread and butter of what we do every day in helping patients check in, and we're going to push it in upstream. So we're going to encourage the patients to check in at home on their own device. If they are coming in for an appointment in your office, we are reducing the amount of time that they are in the office and, of course, helping eliminate contamination in the office. And this is an example of someone whose appointment that was previously scheduled is now a telehealth visit. So we're going to ping the patient. We're going to send them a text message. There's nothing for them to download. They don't need to create a login and password. Patients can sign your paperwork. So if it's time to sign HIPAA, patient agreement, financial authorization, consent to treat, that's all available on the phone for the patient to review and then sign directly on their phone. And we're going to collect information about the patient's visit. Why are they here today? Why do they want to be seen? What is the review of systems and also history of present illness? Collecting this information ahead of time, if it's telehealth, you now have access to this information before the telehealth visit. If the patient is coming into the office, you now have access to this information before that patient comes into the exam room. So we have put together a COVID-19 screener, allowing the patient to go through and complete this questionnaire before they come in. From here, this is how we're helping you triage the practice and then can message the patient appropriately on next steps. You don't want a patient who is scored high coming into the office. You may want to direct them to the emergency department.
So on the outpatient side, we've now used Epion to help gather information about patients before they get there and figure out how to best triage them. If you have to end up sending patients to the emergency department, there's going to be long lines. It's going to be a crowded area, as emergency department waiting rooms always are. So how can we actually create a virtual triage and check-in process on the emergency side? We're going to turn to Sid Satish, CEO of Gauss Surgical, and their project, the Operation Apollo, that is designed to do just that.
So we've seen that on the front lines, healthcare workers are being exposed to a surge of new patients who require manual triage. This is at ERs, EDs, urgent care facilities, primary care facilities, even if the presenting reason is not COVID-19 or COVID-19 worry. But this process we found is inefficient and risks prolonged exposure. We built an app called Apollo, which delivers what we're calling a whole new category, contactless triage for COVID-19. At the front lines. It's very easy to use and to set up, and this can be adopted by any health system without really any integrations or really any setup. Step one, we just place these signs in front of these ERs. This is not dissimilar to what folks are doing today. They usually place signs that say, you know, stop, don't enter, get back in your car and give us a call. So we've built a really simple service where you can text Apollo to this number or scan a QR code. They fill out a CDC-based COVID-19 screening that's based on the latest guidelines. It's constantly updated, and it's been curated by a panel of ER doctors and experts. It encodes the results of that symptom screen into a QR code, just like a boarding pass. When the patient's ready, they turn their blinkers on, and the attendant at the front of that care facility walks up. They simply scan that QR code on their own phone to download instantly all of the screening results for that patient's COVID-19 screen. If they want to make a call to that patient through the window, they just tap a button and we can make an instant phone call to triage that patient further and complete the medical screening process. We've built all of these functionalities in the last 96 hours and shipped them. We've actually beta tested this successfully at a number of local care facilities here with our ER staff. The benefit of this process is it really takes a manual COVID-19 screening, which is inefficient and has a high level or prolonged level of exposure, and turns it into an instant, high throughput, and no exposure process. Very simple to roll out at any health system, any test facility. Apollo is currently accessible in 7 different languages, and we're adding a number of additional languages. So it allows anybody to do a COVID-19 screen, and it's not limited in the sense of how many languages are available. It helps protect healthcare workers at the front lines. That's whom we've built this for. Number one, contactless screening reduces exposure to COVID-19 by reducing prolonged and direct contact with patients during screening. Number two is very efficient and allows you to scale a screening operation up to a massive population. So any patient, any care facility, even if you don't know who that patient is when they arrive at the front door, whether or not they have an appointment or went through a video visit or some other channel.
So while Gauss's solution is specifically looking at what we do when patients roll into an emergency department in their cars, ER Express has a slightly different take on that for patients both at home trying to figure out if and when they should go in, and if they show up and they need to have some estimation of when they're going to be seen. So I'm going to kick it over to Mike Cutter from ER Express to explain that solution.
So let's start with the online piece. This lives on your website. This is where we're creating the virtual waiting room and allowing patients to do the majority of their waiting at home or wherever they're comfortable. And they're simply able to see your facilities and in real time, a first available time that they can check in and hold that spot in line and again do their waiting from home. Turning to your walk-in patients that just show up without an online reservation, they are entering the queue and getting an estimated treatment time upon arrival as part of this process using their own mobile device. So they'll receive text updates about their visit and when you're ready for them. And there is no kiosk or physical equipment that they need to touch. And then your staff has the ability to trigger updates to the patients. And so that can include any sort of changes to their estimated treatment time, as well as the notification that we're ready to treat you now. That in a nutshell is digital queuing. We can do all of our delivery remotely. That's everything you'll need for the online reservations to work on your website, as well as staff training. We're looking at a 10 to 15 day go live as soon as we hear from you and you're ready to go.
So before we keep diving in on the acute inpatient side, I want to take a step back and remember all the patients that had appointments that might have chronic conditions that really aren't COVID-19 related. What are we doing about them? Our friends at Bravado Health have come up with a solution to manage that forgotten patient population. So I'm going to welcome Dr. John Bernat to tell us about it.
I'll give you a 10-second overview of myself. I'm a family physician. I am practicing in the midst of this pandemic, and we are pushing patients back 3 full months, and they become the collateral damage. And the number of patients who are being pushed back is actually going to far exceed the number of patients who have the coronavirus. Well, we all know that in chronic conditions, non-urgent can change in much less than 3 months. So who's watching them? At this point, it's largely no one, or maybe we're waiting for them to reach out to us. So same technology can be used. We can screen patients for their vitals and a health status. And the way we do that is you saw the vital signs already on the COVID patients, but we can also add weight or blood pressure or some other things that we may need to know for our different population of patients. And then we use the NIH developed PROMIS surveys. They're validated surveys that let us know how we can assess a patient and get scores back so we can see how they're doing. So you combine your vital signs with your assessments, and we begin to get a picture of who may not be doing so well, who may not be controlled, so to speak. We're able to customize some of the messages. For example, you may say, I want you to call your PCP, or you may say, I want you to call this dedicated line who's trying to triage some of these particular issues.
Okay, so switching gears back into the acute care setting, we're going to turn the tables to Redivis now, which assists care teams in documenting and making critical decisions around code blue, code red situations, cardiac arrest for COVID-19 patients who are at a much higher likelihood that that's going to happen in an inpatient setting. This is Dr. Jeff Dunn, CEO of Redivis.
These COVID patients, from what we're hearing with our customers, is that these really sick folks with the virus are deteriorating quickly, and many of these patients are dying of cardiac and respiratory arrest. One of our customers told us that their cardiac arrests have gone up 4 times in the matter of a 48-hour period. 30% of all cardiac arrests have a mistake or error made from the data that suggests. And I can tell you, being a physician and have worked with a lot of nurses, there is nothing worse than being in a time-critical moment and not making the right decision. So the data supports that we're human, we make mistakes and errors, and really that's what we want to help out at Redivis Health. So what do we do? Redivis is all about bringing mobile technology to the forefront to be able to launch into what we describe as a clinical GPS. So we are very much influenced by Atul Gawande's Checklist Manifesto. And if you took the idea of automating the guidelines so a nurse and a doctor can use those during a time-critical moment, giving a caretaker for a patient whose heart stops the ability to get the turn-by-turn navigation and to document everything in real time is really our core competency. This can be launched from a mobile device. It can be launched from a tablet or a workstation on wheels. And what we call this is next generation clinical decision support. So this is not an education based platform. This is a tool that you're using once that button on the wall is pushed, which is a code blue, which means the patient's heart has stopped. This is really to activate and give the nurse who is the one that's holding on to the solution, the ability to give decision prompts, to document everything in real time, versus writing everything on a piece of paper and going off the memory, et cetera. So the three things that this brings to the table for the sickest of COVID patients are the ability to adhere to the guidelines, the American Heart Association guidelines, the real-time documentation aspect, and then we have a dashboard for quality improvement reporting. And I can tell you, being a physician, I had many patients where I wish I could have gone back and done something differently. So this is that security blanket, and also ensures that everything is captured during that emergency. So we are giving away for free for the next 90 to 120 days the cardiac arrest module, since we know a lot of these COVID patients are not going to do well. They have estimated that there's going to be 2 to 3x times cardiac arrest and respiratory arrest patients from COVID. A little proof of something that we're going to be publishing here in the very near future is, does this work? And this study that we did with a cardiac arrest researcher and doctors in training suggested that our tool during cardiac arrest simulation for doctors in training improved their decisions by 22%, making the right decision, and decreased mistakes and errors by 66%.
Telehealth is a big bucket, and it's not just consumers at home. Amopti has designed their software to support high volume patient flow at high speeds where every click matters. I talked a little bit about earlier with tents being set up in hospital parking lots. Amopti has a phenomenal solution to help triage patients in very fast speed going through there. So I have Dr. Ed Barthel, who is the CEO and founder of Amopti, and he's an emergency physician as well.
This is a very kind of personal time for us because we've got colleagues that have been out there trying to take care of patients and gotten sick themselves, and now they're in ICUs on ventilators. And we wish them the best and want to do anything we can to help the industry. So the premise is this, is that instead of having a care process that always involves on-site staff, let's break down the care process into components or parts of work. And some of those components can actually be done by remote resources and very often can be done faster, better, cheaper by those remote resources. And particularly when you're looking across a group of hospitals, you can have a remote resource servicing multiple hospitals simultaneously, which gives you a load leveling effect between those hospitals that you just can't do when you're only using individual providers at individual sites. At the front end, at the virtual intake process, that's where we've had the most experience over the last several years. And people are now trying to redesign those workflows in ways that they can keep patients out of the ER that don't need to be in the ER. We take this approach is to take, instead of $25,000 telehealth carts, we use very inexpensive tablets that are mounted in a variety of different brackets or on mobile poles that can be moved to multiple locations that can be ultimately put in many different patient rooms at the same time. And you can have several of these units out in the tent. And every time you're using a person on a screen like this in a tent, that's one less person that has to be in that tent and exposed to someone that's potentially infectious. At the same time, we connect that through, and this is where our Redox comes in, is we take a ADT and vital sign feeds out of the electronic medical records. So the carts on the right maybe are being used by a nurse or a tech in the tent to enter the patient into their electronic medical record and get them registered and do some documentation. At the same time, the ability to request a remote consult to one of these patient-facing devices is integrated directly into the screen with the electronic medical record. So then when those consult requests are made, they can go out through a routing and queuing system to one or many different responding facility or responding centers. And frankly, in this age where we have quarantine providers, we can set this up in providers' homes as well. And so all the nurse has to do is slide the mouse over and go click request consult. And if it's requesting a triage consult, within 30 to 60 seconds, the doc on the other end is going to pop onto the screen. Now, if I'm a doc, I have a queue of incoming consult requests, and that consolidates those requests from multiple different facilities and stacks them up with sorting mechanisms that we configure. Typically, it's based on whenever the last consult request came on, and I'm going to grab the patient off the top that's been waiting the longest, go click, and all of a sudden now I can see that patient right on my screen. We can install it within 7 days and have it deployed in multiple emergency departments and multiple different responding command centers involving multiple different providers all orchestrated together. There's no software fees over the next 90 days and no long-term obligations. We've proven the deployment can work. We had a hospital system in Tampa just say go last Tuesday, and they are now today live in patient care with this system.
Okay, so we're about to hear from another emergency physician, my friend, Dr. Foster Goss, another Boulderite, and he brings really personal spin to how he's talking about using CareLoop, his company that he started, to bring a telehealth spin to the daily operations within the hospital. And beyond improving communications, it dramatically can save the protective equipment that providers and care teams have to wear in these situations. So let's have Fiji talk it through.
I'm an emergency physician, and I'm taking care of patients right now. I actually worked four shifts this last week, caring for patients coming in with COVID and having to admit these patients or send them home. So I'm deeply in the trenches right now, and it's hard. You know, I'm also a father and a husband, and my family's concerned, much like it's watching, you know, a loved one go off to battle every day in the emergency department. And we're all serving on the front lines. It's a little bit unusual for us to have this unknown, to not know necessarily what's going to happen. But we do know that we were trained for this, and we're ready to do whatever's next. Right now, we're sort of in a stage where we are sitting at the shore, watching the tsunami that's about to come in. And we have a trifecta right now of affecting our healthcare system, where we are dealing with capacity issues in our hospitals. We are limited. We have a national and actually global shortage of protective equipment, which is our only protection against this virus, which is unique because we have no immunity to it. And then we are challenged by not being able to test patients. Right now in our hospital, we're testing patients that are healthcare workers or patients that have been admitted, but we're not able to test everybody. So we're here to help with CareLoop. And I'm gonna explain this directly as a physician, how this can actually help what I do every day. Patients, when they come to the emergency department, if there's a COVID rule out, then they get moved to a certain zone, a negative pressure room, and there's limited ability to communicate with them. And with CareLoop, this could help me every shift to be able to actually communicate with the patient, for the patient to actually know who's actually taking care of them, as well as also being able to loop in the family, who right now they're very, very strict visitation restrictions, so that many patients' families can't come with them into the emergency department. They can't come into the hospital. In the nursing homes, this is even more challenging. We've all seen the picture of the family members looking through the glass trying to communicate with their loved one. And so we can actually help drive a lot of this communication to the family about how, how we're going to be communicating with them, that we're going to be communicating via their mobile devices, something that is very intuitive. And we can also check in with them. So instead of myself having to go in and don PPE with every patient check-in or the nurse with every check-in, we can actually be able to communicate with them why they're in the emergency department or when they're admitted to the hospital or if they're in a nursing home. We can also have a big impact in terms of preserving PPE. So there's a lot of updates that we give our patients during the course of, say, the emergency department encounter or even when they're admitted to the hospital. And I think on my last shift, I don PPE at least 8 times. This takes a long time. And then there's a special process of donning and taking off your PPE. And this is a critical resource. But yet this is the only protection that we have as healthcare workers to really to not get sick. And we have the ability also with CareLoop to be able to do a virtual visit. So instead of donning my PPE and having to go into the room, I could have a virtual meeting with that patient, let them know what's going on and what to expect next. And a lot of these patients don't get admitted to the hospital and they're sent home. And they have a lot of questions and concerns after they're sent home because testing right now, at least in our facility, which is a large academic medical center, is still taking about 5 to 7 days to come back. And they can be informed of when the test results come back. And then also general information about how to care for themselves when they go home, what to do if they get sick, and then also specific discharge pathways. So we can actually check in with these patients and see how they're doing, if they're having, for example, a fever, if they're having a worsening shortness of breath, if their symptoms are progressing. Then we can intelligently route that back to, say, our virtual health center where they can triage whether that patient actually needs to come back to the emergency department or if they should just continue on and maybe follow up with their primary care doctor or a virtual visit. Within my workflow, I can actually access the CareLoop activity from directly within our electronic health record. So in our case, we use Epic. This is basically one click from within the patient's chart, and I can send a message out to the patient, update the nurse to check in with them if I wanted to. And the family can also have loved ones that are involved in this communication. So if they have a healthcare proxy, that person could be receiving these communications. This is really important in the context of, say, if this was a patient in the ICU who was, say, on a ventilator, intubated, a lot of the family is, because the visitation restrictions, are not able to be there. So this is a way we can keep them informed about what's happening.
Of course, many COVID-19 patients are discharged to make room for others who are in a more acute situation and are sent home to battle this virus on their own or with loved ones. So Logical Medical has created a solution to track those patients and ensure that things don't escalate and become more of a problem. So I want to pass it off to David Geller, CEO of Logical Medical, to talk us through that solution.
This was born out of discussions we've had with emergency room doctors, primarily in hotspot areas like New York, that are seeing lots of patients and they do not have an ability to really track those patients when they're sent home to just monitor their symptoms. So we developed C19 Tracker. It works with any healthcare provider. And, you know, a brief overview is that the idea is that anyone experiencing symptoms can start to track those symptoms from home. So very simple. Patient will be invited to download the app from the health system. So a physician will just get their phone number and name. They'll get a link to get the application and will not even have to set up an account. They'll immediately be connected to the health system and will start using the application. We also have the ability when symptoms become at an alarming level for the healthcare system to get in touch with that patient. So the way it works is very simple. Someone from the healthcare organization can download the app from the App Store, and with just a quick onboarding of the health system name, can register the system with us so that they can begin inviting patients. Once the patient has the application, we check in on their symptoms at certain intervals, 4 to 6 hours. This is simply a way to capture how they are doing against their baseline, which was established at their first visit. Patient gets a simple response that lets them know we've recorded their symptoms and have shared them with their healthcare provider. And then they'll get some links and general information about their symptoms. On the provider side, they have a quick access to a dashboard that gives them the list of the patients sorted by the severity of symptoms as reported against their baseline. We currently offer this as a standalone solution, so it does not require EHR or practice management software integration. However, that could occur down the line in which we could input values from the patient into the EHR, oxygen levels, temperature, or if the EHR detects a potential COVID patient, that we could trigger a notification to that patient to get the application and start tracking their symptoms.
I want to round it out with our friends at MedBridge, who have expanded their education tools to include telehealth and other resources specific to this pandemic.
We've launched a series of innovative solutions and free resources, including our new COVID-19 toolkit, which includes free online infection prevention courses and patient education resources. In addition, we've accelerated the beta launch of our telehealth virtual visits offering, which we are including within our patient engagement tool at no cost. Our patient mobile application is widely adopted across millions of patients and allows reporting and insights on adherence and engagement to be delivered to the care provider. Outside of our Redox integration, we're offering free staff and patient training resources, including a complete remote clinician training on infection control and crisis management, as well as leadership training.
So from the time a patient thinks they have symptoms to getting on a waiting list, to triaging in an overcrowded, socially distant emergency department, to care within the hospital and beyond, Digital Health Solutions has stepped up to fight this pandemic. A few of them mentioned it, but all of these solutions are being offered for free right now to any care delivery organization who thinks they can benefit from it. Since we rolled out this program, we've added others, so check out redoxengine.com/COVID-19 for the full list of resources. I'm not sure if you caught it, but we had 7 clinician entrepreneurs represented here today, 3 of which are emergency physicians, truly on the front line of this pandemic. I can't stress enough how grateful we are for the work that you do and every care provider does each day in risking your lives to keep us safe. Thank you. And for all the listeners out there, we'll see you next time on the Redox Podcast.